Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And today, we're going to get started with Jill Scott's Lovely Day. We're going to talk about faith today. You see, faith is the demonstration of your imagination. Yes. Faith is the demonstration of your imagination. How you loving today? How you living today? This is Jill Scott. Lovely day.
You are now listening to Just Before Dawn, Jill Scott, from the Vault, Volume 1.
Without warning, love bears heavy on.
fell in love with Jill Scott in the first place. Have a lovely day.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. That was Jill Scott, Lovely Day. And I am Janine Ingram, your daily lover. Yes, this is your love experience, and I'm excited because we're going to talk about faith today. Faith, faith, ooh, faith is a demonstration of our imagination. What are we imagining? Do we have limits on God? Are we dreaming small dreams? Yes. We're going to talk about that today. Yes, it's time to take the limits off God and dream your big God-sized dream. All right, we're going to be ready to turn within, recognizing that there is really only one power, really only one presence. And on this line, we recognize this power, this great spirit that is known by many, 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 many names. On this line, we call it God. Recognizing that God is good, omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. Come on, y'all. There is not a spot that our God is not. Help me, God. Speak to the people. As we begin to move within into the theater of our mind. And as we call forth the blessings and the gift and the present of this day, we just thank you, Holy Spirit. As we begin to focus in on the breath, reminding ourselves that there is power in the breath, remembering to breathe, because family, sometimes we forget to breathe. Sometimes we walk this journey, and sometimes things get so devastating that we hold our breath. And we get in the habit of holding our breath, and then before you know it, we shallow breathing. And in order to fully maximize the power of the breath, we must be intentional about breathing deeply into the diaphragm. So I want you to take this time to become very intentional about the breath, because family, there is power in the breath. So together, we're going to take in a deep breath, breathe it in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, and then we are going to release that breath. And in this right now moment, I want you to become very intentional about becoming still. And I want to remind you to breathe deep into the diaphragm, deep into the heart, reminding you that the heart has wisdom. And today, family, as we surrender to the powerful presence, breathe into the arms of that divine love, knowing that the universe is friendly to our desires. And so in this right now moment, whatever burdens, whatever has got concern on your mind, whether it's money, health, love, relationship, whatever has your mind in a place that is no longer serving you, I want you to surrender that thought, that care into the love, and then into the energy of divine love. And I want you to become very intentional and be still. In this right now moment, I just want you to be still. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. And I want you to be still again. Real still. As we call in the presence of all that is divine. And as we call in all that is divine, I want you to see in the third eye nothing but greatness. Be still and know that I am God. And I want you to breathe. Let's breathe out. And place them at the altar of God's love, knowing that everything that is of concern to you right now is placed in the hands of the divine presence and disintegrated into the energy of love, and that nothing but good shall come to you in that situation. Together, Father. Let's breathe again. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And right now, just release it. Release the tension and the worries and the cares into the hands of love. Just release. And in this right now moment, I just want you to go into your heart. Move from your head and just simply say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And let's breathe again. Be still and know that I am God. And in this right now moment, I want you to breathe deep. Let's do it, family. And I want you to just release all the cares. Just release it. And I want you to breathe in a way that you know when you just exhaled and you just like, thank you, God, it's over. Or something has just happened and you can breathe now. I want you to just breathe with your mouth open. Just go. Just let go. Release and let go and let God. Are you making room for the divine presence? The presence of God that is always there with you. That said, I will never leave nor forsake you. And so in this right now moment, this is our last time. I want you to breathe in all of gratitude. And as you breathe in, I just want you to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Just say it with me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let's be still, Father. Be still. Know that I am God. I want you to breathe in gratitude. Just breathe in gratitude. And as you breathe in, just give thanks. Let's breathe, Father. And as you release, just release and just give it over to the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. And as we prepare our mind to just simply give thanks, God. Divine Mother, Father God, I come today speaking from the transcending power of my I am that I am presence. Father, Mother God, of every word that I speak, may it be your words, God. Every thought that I think, may it be your thoughts, God. And may I deliver today all that you have given me to deliver in a mighty consciousness as we speak the word, as we command our morning, as we offer up this prayer treatment with the infinite Reverend Ike, as we call forth the presence of Reverend Ike as our ancestor this morning, as we condition our mind for money this morning, money in all forms of wealth, God, we absolutely give thanks, Holy Spirit, knowing that there is no other greater right now, God. As we call forth the divine presence, our higher mind self, speaking from the presence of our higher mind, we know that this is already done. Let's speak the word of Reverend Ike together, family.
Let's get rid of all the money hang-ups. I tell you how I want you to do this. I want you to get relaxed. Take about three good long breaths and stretch your feet out if you can. Now, I want you to place your hands in an upward position on your lap. Just let them rest in an upward position. Somewhat slightly cupped. You see, like my cup,
run it over.
And just repeat this with me, right here and right now.
Right here and right now.
I open my mind to all of the goodness of life.
I open my mind, come on, Holy Spirit, of all the goodness of life.
I deserve it all.
Absolutely.
God wants me to have all of the goodness of life.
Oh, my mother, father, God wants me to have it all.
It is God's pleasure to give me all of the goodness of life.
It's such God's good pleasure. To give me
all of the riches of life.
All the riches.
Health, happiness, love.
Health, happiness,
success,
and
prosperity,
love.
And money.
Success, prosperity,
I totally
and money.
Open
on.
My mind to the flow.
I totally open my mind
with
to
no
the flow.
Reservations.
With absolutely no reservations.
I opened my mind to money.
I open my mind.
The being,
to money.
Doing, having power of the mind.
The being, doing, having power
the being,
of the
doing,
mind.
The being, doing, having power of God in me.
The being, doing, having power of
this
the God in
this is real money.
Me. You see, this is real.
This is the money that becomes every form of money.
This is the money that becomes every form
that I need
of
and
money.
Want.
That I need and want.
And now we're going to go into a visualization for a moment, so I just want you to close your two outer eyes. Tilt your chin slightly upward. And look through the third eye, the eye of God in you. And repeat this visualization prayer treatment with me. I now enter into the theater of my mind.
I now enter into the theater of my mind.
And I see myself.
And I see myself.
I see myself as I wish to be.
I see myself as I wish to be.
I see myself as a healthy person.
I see myself as a healthy person.
I see myself as a happy person.
I see myself as a happy person.
I see myself as a loving person.
I see myself
as a beloved person.
I see myself as a beloved person.
I see myself as a successful, prosperous person.
I see myself as a successful, prosperous person.
I see and feel myself as a person who has a lot of money.
I see and feel myself as a person who has lots of money.
I see that I have all of the money that I need for every good cause.
I see that I have all the money I need for every good cause.
I see myself with stocks and bonds.
I see myself with
certificates
stocks and
of
bonds.
Deposit.
All the certificates.
A big
of
investment portfolio.
Big investment
I see
portfolio.
Myself having money making money.
Ooh, and I see myself having money,
money
making,
making
money.
Money
making money.
Money making money.
Money making money. Money making money.
It feels
money.
Wonderful.
Money making money. It feels,
it feels good.
And it feels
I
so
see
good.
And feel myself enjoying the goodness of money.
I see and feel myself enjoying the goodness
Thank
of
you,
money.
God, in me.
Thank you, God,
for money
in me.
For and all money. Of the goodness of life.
And all of the goodness of
now
life.
Now open your eyes slowly. Come back.
Amen.
And in closing, I say health,
happiness.
Love, success,
love,
and prosperity.
And prosperity.
And a whole,
and a whole
lot of money go with you.
Money.
Amen.
I just love that. And a whole lot of money go with you. Good morning, family. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sometimes all you can just say is simply thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just rain down on us, God. Rain. You tuned in to the Love Show.
Let your glory fill this place.
Come on, God.
Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle.
Fill this love journey tabernacle.
Purify all.
Come on, Holy Spirit.
We need you to surround us in this place. Bring within us, send a refreshing, Lord. Saturate our hearts, send rain. Oh, breathe. Oh, shower down. Anybody needing a shower?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You tuned in to the Love Journey. Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover, and that was Joshua Rogers, Shower Down, Rain on Us. You know, whenever we talk about rain in the Bible, we talk about abundance. Abundance. And today we're going to talk about faith, Kelly. Are we taking the limits off God? Because faith is the demonstration of our imagination, yes. Albert Einstein said what? That our imagination is what? The preview of life's coming attraction. It's what God has for us. And when we shut down our imagination, we shut off the opportunity to see the coming attraction of our life. Are you taking the limits off God? Are we dreaming too small? Are we speaking too small? Because we're afraid to really let our light shine. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about faith, then. We're going to talk about faith. I got a couple of things I want to read to you. I want to talk to you about. I want to talk about really opening our minds up to allowing the fullness of what God has for our life. And it's so interesting that only God can do for us what God can do through us. God can only do for you what God can do through you. And so if God can only operate through your small thoughts, then you get exactly in life what you're able to believe. And so today we're going to see how can we take those limits off God. We're going to start off. I'm going to play this clip by Steve Harvey, but it's a portion that I want us to, and I know some of us already heard it. We got quite a few new callers, about 25 numbers on here that I don't recognize. But I want you to know today that I want you to really listen to some of this that Steve Harvey is talking about, because Steve is asking us to take the limits off God in a way. He's asking us to really open up our imagination. And then we're going to talk about our money love challenge after all this. Thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover. Good morning, family.
If you could get a couple of things from me, if you could gather this piece of information. Albert Einstein said once, he said, imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attractions. Now, I want you to get this now. Imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attractions. Because if you think about it, everything you have, everything we have in this world, somebody imagined it. It's your imagination is tremendous. Somebody was sitting on the phone one day talking with a cord to the wall and said, man, I wish I could just go outside with this phone. Everybody in here got a cell phone. Somebody imagined that. Somebody got tired of riding in a wagon cross country from slavery to freedom. Somebody said, I wish we had something that made these wheels move by themselves. We drive cars. People got tired of driving from New York to LA. Somebody said, I wish we could fly. We got airplanes. Imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attractions. Your real life, the one God really got for you, is in your imagination. It is not in your current situation or your current paycheck. And if you've been living like that, you have then restricted yourself to a commonality that is really not yours. Because what really God got for you is really in your imagination. There is a scripture that Albert Einstein took this quote from. It's like the book The Secret. The Secret is one of the top-selling motivational books ever. But if you read the book The Secret, it's all biblical. Everything comes from the Bible. You really don't need self-help books. You don't need The Magic of Thinking Big, The Power of Positive Thinking, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Think and Grow Rich, The Winner's Circle. I've read them all. All of that information is in Proverbs, all of it. But let me give you this scripture. You've all heard this, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So when I told you a minute ago, you got to have a tremendous work ethic, but you got to have a lot of faith. I talk to so many people who get older, like some of us are, and they've lost the faith. Well, faith is really simple. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. All that means is in the beginning, you just hope something pop off. You know, you just kind of hope something happened for you. I was hoping I would get on TV. I wrote it on a piece of paper when I was 10. I want to be on TV. The problem I had when I wrote it at 10 was I suffered from a severe stuttering problem. I could not talk outside of my house. So can you imagine when I wrote on a piece of paper, I want to be on TV and turned that in? But when I wrote it on the paper, it wasn't factual. I was just hoping. You just got to start with the hope. Faith is the substance of things that you hope for. You just hope something jump. Then what happened is through grace and favor, he give you a couple of them things you hope for, and then you're supposed to start believing then. Because now it turns into faith. But if you take this scripture, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What is the evidence of things not seen? I just told it to you. Albert Einstein said, imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attraction. But guess what? Your imagination really is. It's the evidence of things not seen. Because your imagination, you know why it's the evidence of things not seen? Because you're the only one can see it. Your imagination is actually God showing you a preview of a coming attraction that he has for you. The moment you don't believe in your imagination, you negate what he got for you. Your imagination is the preview to life's coming attraction. It is the evidence of things not seen, because can't nobody see it with you. Your problem is you keep telling your imagination to the wrong people. See, if you want to kill a big dream, tell it to a small-minded person. It's dead. How many times, man, have you had a tremendous idea, something you thought was the one, and you went and told it to your loved ones and your so-called friends? And they shot it down. I mean, you was convinced that it was just, oh man, I just came to you. And you told it to them and they shot it down. And you thought since they was your loved ones and their friends and they got your best interests at heart, you believed them. You was wrong. You let them talk you out of what God got for you. Some of y'all still sitting here with the ambition of opening a business one day, but you scared to go start the business because you got a job and you got bills. Rich people got bills. Everybody got bills. Hell, I got bills. Everybody owes somebody something. I got something with the bank right now. You're going to let the fact that you got some bills stop you from opening the business, the thing that God done put in your imagination? So you're going to squash that because you got bills. Everybody got bills. Your real life is in your imagination. What I'm sharing with you is stuff that everybody can apply today. If you are sitting in here thinking that you're too old to listen to what Steve, hell, I'm 60. I'm 60 years old. I know.
You can't believe it. I know. He's so fly. I know.
But I'm 60. But I still rely on my imagination. See, if you think you're too old to make it, let me give you a prime example. Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders has been frying chicken his whole life. He was telling everybody he had the best chicken in the world. Ain't nobody believing. They turned him down everywhere. Colonel Sanders didn't get a franchise till he was in his 60s. Kentucky Fried Chicken sell more chicken than anybody in the world today. So if you're sitting here thinking because you got a little gray on you, you're too late, as long as God waking you up in the morning, that's the sign that he ain't through with you. So what you tripping for? You sitting up in here like God can't do nothing for you because you 60. Man, you know what I'm asking God for right now? And I'm 60. If you could see my vision board, you would be blown away. Because I got enough right now. I really know. But I ain't in the need business. I'm in the want business. Ain't nothing wrong with wanting something. Quit going down to these churches y'all sitting up in here going down to, keeping you in these little boxes. God got a big life for you. The only person that ain't get, and look, and I love church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking church. Don't tweet that. Don't, Steve, don't care for the church no more. I didn't say that. But don't go down there, memorize all these scriptures, and then don't apply none of them to your life. That's what I'm talking about. Quit going down there just to go and just get a couple of scriptures and apply them to you. Let me give you one that's real simple. See, these principles of success, they've taken all of these scriptures and they're putting them in books, and they call them, you know, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz. But all these, everything in there is a scripture. They just reworded it because people don't know how to read the Bible. Like, I can't really read the King James Version. I can't. Four verses of that, I go to sleep. Because hence, furthermore, whatsoever, whosoever, who is he talking about? I need a name, dog. Not whomsoever, because I'm throwed off. I didn't do good with reading and comprehension in school. The smallest scripture I ever read changed my life. The scripture real simple. You have not because you ask not.
Because you ask not.
Do you know the difference that could make in your life? I'm just giving you real talk now. I'm just trying to tell you how I got here. See, I have no education. I applaud all of you with your education. I've seen them talk to so many men who have corporate American, all I'm in awe of that because I don't have that. But you sit here and you take what you have, and it could be so much more if you would ask. See, you have not because you ask not. When the last time you really asked him for something? Or do you keep making requests that's inside the confines of your paycheck? When you going to get outside of that? Didn't I just tell you God ain't in your paycheck? Didn't I just tell you he ain't in your job title? The life God got for you is in your imagination. Why you still imagining stuff? Why you keep dreaming of a summer home? Why you keep dreaming of retirement, leaving your grandkids money? Something at the age now where I think about my grandkids. I got 7 TV shows. Dog, I only need one. One show pay me enough money. I need 4 for my wife. 4 of them is for Marjorie. The other 3 is for the grandkids. I just need one. I do not live my life in the confines of what anybody says to me. I let my imagination go, and now imagination is a preview to life's coming attraction. But what that really means is God showing you a preview of what he has for you. So now, if you have not because you ask not, do you understand if you up your ask, he has to up his give? This period. This is simple stuff that anybody can apply. You ain't even got to have no degree to do this. You don't even have to have no money to do this. You can start this today and change your whole game, because you're going to need grace and favor anyway. You need the dream, the faith, and then he put his grace and favor on top of it. You gone. But you got to ask for something. If you up your ask, he got to up his give. Period. You have not because you ask not. Quit asking God for little bitty stuff. Lord Jesus, help me make my rent. Don't he always? All y'all got somewhere to stay. How about this? Why you keep asking for rent? Why don't you ask for a mortgage? If he going to give you the money for a place to stay, what difference do it make to God? But if you keep saying rent, ain't he fair? He keep giving you rent. If you ask for a mortgage, he'll give you a mortgage. But you have not because you ask not. Lord Jesus, help me fix my car so I can make it to work. Why do you keep praying over that raggedy car? Why don't you ask God for a car that don't need fixing? You know, they roll them off the assembly line every day. How you can't get a new car? How you serve God? How you go to church and you can't get a car? Just a new car. How you can't get that from God? You know why? Because you ain't asking. You keep asking him for stuff that fit in your paycheck. Your paycheck say a 2015 Lexus, so you go down there and ask him for that. And guess what you get? A 2015 Lexus. You up your ask, he up his give. You have not because you ask not. This ain't a magic trick, man. Listen, I have asked God for some tremendous stuff. Everything he hasn't given to me is on the way. I have no doubt about it. Why would he not? See, can I tell you what really prompted this thinking in me? When I was homeless, I lived in a car for 3 years. I made some decisions in my life, man, and threw myself off a cliff. My decision in October 8, 1985, I walked into a comedy club for the first time on a dare from a girl. Jesus. I walked into a comedy club for the first time. Had never heard of a comedy club. But all my life, I wanted to be on TV. Had never heard of a comedy club. October the 8th, I walked into Hilarity's Comedy Club in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. That's right outside Akron. I signed up for the following week because I just wanted to see what the comedians did. Man, I saw live stand-up for the first time. They had 10 acts supposed to go up. 9 of them went up. The 10th guy got scared and ran out the door. So I had signed up for the following week. The guy says, listen, we lost our 10th act. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to go to the week from next week. If Steve Harvey's here, come on up now. And the crowd started clapping. I was eating a chicken wing and drinking some grapefruit juice, and I turned to the girl, and I said, it's a dude in here got the same name I got. She said, you're the stupidest bastard I know. So I ran up on stage. I don't even know what to do, but I just started talking about boxing and stuff that happened to me. Audience was hollering, laughing. They brought all 10 of us back up on stage. They had a clap-off. I won the clap-off. I won $50. I cried from Cuyahoga Falls to Cleveland. The girl kept saying, why are you crying? It ain't but $50. I said, no, you don't understand. This way more than $50. This what I do. She said, what you mean this is what you do? This just your first time. You don't understand. Something happened to me. I won amateur night. I went to work the next day, October 9th, 1985, and quit my job. Now, you've all seen this book I got out in this video called Jump. Oh, I jumped. Now, I don't recommend that you do it that way because 2 years later, I was homeless. Because the first year of comedy, I made $3,400. The next year, I made $4,800. And the third year, I made $5,300. I got a wife, a set of twins. I'm sending every dollar I got to them. So I tried to live on $50-$75 a week. Gas was 38 cents a gallon back then. I just stayed in my car. So I lived in my car for 3 years. 3 years. I lived in my car. And what happened was, I just said, man, so I used to fish all the time to eat because I'm a fisherman. I'm a bass fisherman. So I used to stop at lakes and ponds and just fish. And every month I get run off from somebody's land. Hey, get away from here. Hey, move along. That's not yours. Hey, stop fishing here. I just get run off. And he didn't understand. And one time I had fish on the line. They said, you got fish on that line? I said, yeah. Throw them back. I had to throw them back because I used to stop at rest areas with them little cast iron grills. I kept charcoal in my car. I started a fire and I ate fish. There's some days I wouldn't eat. So that they thought I was just fishing, but I was eating. So I said one day, I said, man, you know what? One day, man, I'm gonna give myself some land. I'm buy myself a piece of dirt. So fast forward, God bless me. I get on TV when I'm 38. I'm on Showtime at the Apollo. Lord, have mercy. They gave me my money. I saved my money up. I saved $250,000. I said, I'm going to give me some land. I went to Texas, and I'm about to buy some land. But before I went to buy the land, I was curious. I just had the thought. I said, man, I wonder how much land is on earth? How many acres is on earth? Because, you know, it's not going to change. You know, God lets you fly. God lets you dive on the water. God don't let you make dirt. Can't make dirt. So I looked it up. It's roughly over, just a little bit over, 36 billion acres of land. 36 billion acres of land. So I just got a little bit more curious. And I said, well, how many people on earth? I looked it up, and there's about 6 billion people on earth. So I did some Steve Harvey thinking. I said, okay, if it's 36 billion acres of land and it's about 6 billion people on earth, everybody ought to have 6 acres of land. Not just me. You know, I just thinking. So I asked God, could I have 6 acres? That's all I wanted. Because you know the one thing I wanted? I didn't care if I put a house on it or nothing. I just wanted to be a stand somewhere and couldn't nobody run me off. I just wanted. You know, man, I was in a world of hurt. I was so sick of just getting run off, man, every time I stopped. Got this money, man. I saved my money. I saved $250,000. I'm going and I'm looking for some land. The first day I get there, I see a piece of land in Texas so beautiful, I couldn't believe it. It had rolling hills, had a pond on it where I could fish. The dude took me over there. I look at the land, and I'm looking. I said, man, this is great right here. I said, sir, how much is this right here? He said, well, it's about $600,000. Man, I ain't got that kind of money. He said, well, how much do you have? I said, I got $250,000. I said, well, let me think about it, man. He said, let me think about it. And I was standing there, and then I stopped. I said, sir, can I ask you a question, man? How many acres of land is that? He said, this is 6 acres. Six years ago, I just asked God, just give me 6. See, I didn't want a whole lot of acres. I just wanted my cut. Just give me my 6. And so I said, ain't this crazy? So I thought about it. I said, man, what can we work out? Right before I got ready to say it, the guy that took me over there said, Steve, let me show you something right quick. He took me over to this hillbilly's house. Took me over to this hillbilly house named Jerry Campbell. Now, I don't really care for hillbillies because, you know, we don't. I just, you know, when your voice, you know, I believe and I don't let. When I hear that, me and you probably ain't going to work out. I'm from Cleveland. I do things. I don't want no trouble. I met this hillbilly. I was a little nervous about meeting him, man, because I didn't like the way he talked. But mess around turned out to be one of the finest men I ever met in my life. Became a father figure to me. It's an old white man. He took me to his house. He said, let me show you something. He took me over and showed me this land, and it was massive. It had 3 lakes on it. It had rolling hills. It had trees. It was unbelievable, man. I said, man, this is incredible. I said, man, how much is this? He said, this is 16 acres. I
say, hey, man, I ain't got that kind of money. Let me go on back over here to this dude where I can, Mike can cut a deal. He said, well, let me ask you something. What was you going to give that man over there? I said, well, I hadn't worked it out yet because all I got is $250,000. He said, well, listen, I'm in a little bit of a tight right now. Said, if you can bring me $250,000 cash by tomorrow, I give you this 16 acres. I showed up next day, $250,000, 16 acres. See, that's grace and favor right there. That's what that is. So my first piece of land was 250 acres. So I said, man, this is the land that I'm going to save for my family. I'm going to fish on the rest of my life. I'm going to be an old man. Now, let me tell you something. I'm so busy now, I don't even get to go to that ranch. I never can go. And I thought I was going to be fishing and save it for my kids the rest of life. But God had another plan for me. That's the ranch that I have my mentoring camp on. I bring 1,000 black boys out there with 1,000 single mothers. And that was the purpose of that ranch. I never go there to fish at all. But see, that's what I wanted. I thought that's what it was for. But God got another plan. His way is way bigger than yours. You can't even see his way. But you got to start to hustle. You got to give God something to work with. Look, if you start hustling and grinding, he'll fill it up for you. But if you ain't got no hustle and no grind, he can't fill it up. So guess what? I don't ever go there to use that land for fishing or not. But I'm changing boys' lives over there. It's been important for me to empower my children, but not only my children, but thousands of young people across the country. And education is the key for a lot of people. But when I speak at colleges and stuff, I tell people, number one thing in your world is not your education. It's your dream. So what you dreaming about, y'all? What you still dreaming about? What is God still showing you in your imagination? What are you so afraid of? Why would you not take that leap and go for it before you mess around and die? Why would you not go and see what God really got for you before you leave this world? Why would you hang on to a job? Here's what happens with the job. If you live in paycheck to paycheck right now, when you retire, they're going to give you one-third of what you can't live on now. They're going to give you a gold watch and a turkey, and they're going to set you on out to pasture. If I was you, before I leave this world, I'd go see what God really got for me. Just take a chance. Now, here's why you should take the chance. Name me one time God has not pulled you through. Just name it. Name the one thing God has never pulled you through. If he ain't pulled you through it, he's currently pulling you through it right now. And the reason I know I'm telling the truth is because you're sitting in here. If God was through with you, he wouldn't wake you up no more. When he wakes you up, it's because he ain't through with you yet. He got something else for you. So why don't you go see what that is?
That was some good stuff. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You're tuned in to The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And that was Steve Harvey right here on The Love Journey. Oof. What is God showing us in the preview of our mind? I love Albert Einstein. He said, imagination is everything. He said, imagination is God. It's the preview. God has coming for your life. It's the coming attraction of your life. It's the preview of the coming attraction of your life. And nothing is absolutely impossible when we dream our God-sized dreams. I read this article, and I wanted to read it to you. It's by Mastin Kemp. He said, I remember one day taking a walk in the valley and seeing so many houses filled with families, children, people who had made it in my mind. I had never felt so far away from God in my life. He said, would I ever get there? Would I ever get there? And it seemed at the time so impossible. It felt like the whole world was going on without me, and I didn't matter. I felt abandoned and alone, and it was then that I wrote this prayer. God, source of all creation, pick me up when I can walk no further. Help me shine a light in this dark space right now, God, so I can see just one more step in front of me. Oh, heavenly source, please show me the way when I'm lost. And for your presence, it comforts me. It restores me to my fullest, my mother, my father, source. I throw myself at your knees right now, and I bow to the infinite wisdom. And I know all things are done through me by you, Holy Spirit. And I'm your humble servant this morning. Take me, shake me, oh, muse to the bone. Make me rule over right now, God. You give me the strength to stand tall. Help me to see that my fear was wrong all along. Help me to shake me to my core so that I might know what my heart really feels like. Strip away everything that is not needed so that I can see you so clearly, God. And in that between, my muse, my sweet muse, protect me right now, God. Until it's my time to move on to greater, greener pastures, take me to the edge and keep me there so that I might have one foot in life, God. So I can bring these two worlds closer together. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for these lessons. Thank you for this moment of joy and sadness, because I know they are your perfect recipe for my bliss, God. He said, I meant what I said in that prayer, too. You see, I wanted to live on the edge. I just didn't want to go over it. I had been living in a good house for about a month, and one night I came home after another bad day and borrowed the internet from some poor, unsuspecting house in the neighborhood. And I sat outside in my Jeep, and I scanned for open Wi-Fi network. And I saw that my email inbox was so full to the brim with Twitter notifications. I also looked at my Twitter account, and my number of followers had gone up. In fact, it had gone from 1,000 to 10,000 people overnight. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what had happened. Then I saw it. Reality TV star Kim Kardashian had tweeted about me. She said, I feel so inspired when I read tweets from the Daily. They make me feel lovely and so positive. I just got another God shot. See, this was a very powerful moment. Suddenly, at a push of a button, I had access to 10,000 people. What was I going to say? Would it be good? I didn't know. But I kept on tweeting. I continued to gain followers, and now people were tweeting back that I was changing their lives with my writings. I couldn't believe that a tweet could change a life, but apparently something was happening. I had a new burst of passion and energy to just keep on going another day. But even as I was being fueled by this wave, I remember looking around the pool house and wondering, how am I here? Why am I here? It's so small, it felt like a prison cell. In one of my meditations, I asked the question, but God, why this room size? When you are an abundant God, why something so small? And the answer I got back was immediate. Master, this room represents the size of your faith. Ooh, the thought gave me chills because I knew it was true. You see, I had surrendered my faith to so many other people. I hadn't followed my own true calling, and this room represented how much faith I had in myself and in God to support me in following my own bliss. But as I kept meditating, I remember what the Bible and what Jesus said. Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing, absolutely nothing, will be impossible to you. Matthew 17 and 20. I started to laugh out loud. I couldn't believe this. I could probably fit a billion mustard seeds in my pool house, but even I saw that even though I was in such a small room, I was being supported. And in fact, I had plenty of faith. It was in that moment that I began to see that pool house wasn't my jail, it was my cocoon. I was transforming from a caterpillar to a butterfly. But I had to die first. And that just blew my mind, reading that, even just rereading it to you all, sent chills down my spine. It reminded me how many of us are dreaming small dreams and living a small life when God has so much more for our life. God has so much more intended for us to live and be abundantly joyful in. And why are we afraid to do what we've been called to do, to live the way we've been called to live, and have what we've been called to have? It's time to really die to the small thoughts and breathe new life into God-sized dreams, into the size of dreams. You know, whenever I think of God-sized dreams, I use Oprah as an example because I love when she came out on that Essence stage and she said, "Family, I'm living the dream. I'm living the dream. Not because I'm special, but because I followed the call." On your life, what is it that is knocking at your heart, wanting to manifest more of itself through you? God is calling your name. It's time to get out the box. It's time to think outside the box. It's time to step into your dreams, step into your life that you have been called to the planet to do. My desire for each and every one of you is to bring forth the presence of that dream. Let's do it, family. Let's do it. Together we can bust through those fears. Together we can bust through what's keeping us from allowing ourselves to shine bright like a diamond. It's time to breathe, fam. Breathe new life into what you've been called to do. Today we are on our Money Love Challenge number 12. I'm going to call Khadija in and talk about our Money Love Challenge for this morning. Good morning, my millionaires and billionaires on this line. Khadija Ali, are you ready? Okay, maybe she's not ready.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Love Journey family. Happy Wednesday. And Lady Love, we're on day 13.
Oh, 13?
Yeah, we getting through. Yesterday was day 12. And day 12 was know where you keep it. And this was listing your balances from your bank accounts, your stocks, your bonds, cryptocurrency, gold, silver. We were to list our assets and our liabilities and know what we have coming in, know what where we stand, because being vague can't be vague. We got to know where we're going. So this brings clarity. We know exactly what's going on. We know exactly where we stand. So That was yesterday, day 12. And I don't know if people are ready for day 13. Day 13, family, is open up your mail.
Ooh. I can't ever.
Ooh. All of it. Open all your mail. Open up those invoices. Open up those blessings that you've already received. So, family, today is day 13 on our Money Love Challenge. And today we're opening up our mail. All of it. I know that's scary. And I remember when I was in deep, deep debt, I had a box. I had just moved here from Maryland. I moved to Raleigh, and I just took all the mail and I put it in a box. I had weeks and weeks and weeks worth of unopened mail. And one day I finally took it all out and I sat in the middle of my living room floor and I opened up that box and I opened up every last single one of those envelopes. And it was scary at first, but let me tell you something. When I did it, it wasn't as bad as I had imagined it to be. It wasn't as bad as I had imagined it to be. And I took all of the things that I opened up and I made arrangements with every creditor. And it really wasn't as bad as I thought. So, family, let's be brave today. Let's open it up and let's know what's coming in. And I'm complete, Janine, with our Money Love Challenge.
All right. Wow. Let's open up our mail. Whew. So, you know, everyone knows that I started buying property when I was 21. I couldn't wait till I was 21. And, you know, I understood that I wanted to be rich. I want to be rich. So I started buying my properties and accumulated a lot of properties. And then a hiccup came in the road, and I remember not opening my mail and starting to hide from my creditors and not answering my phone. And it was the worst thing that could ever happen. Because simply facing the situation head on can head off a lot of things. Because so what happened was one of the properties I had, an elderly lady had owned the property. And she had to keep this property for so many years with some kind of loan that she had. And if not, then the property, then the lien goes on the property. Well, what happened was I had closed the deal and bought the property. And the property seemed to be free and clear title. So what happened was a lien of foreclosure came into the house, and I couldn't. But because I was going through so many changes, I wasn't paying attention. I could have just easily went to the title company, got it resolved, and it had a free and clear title of that particular foreclosure. But because I didn't open my mail and handle my business, I lost a property that had a lot of equity in it because I wasn't handling my business, opening my mail. All I had to do was go back to the title company. But you... fear and all the stuff I was going through didn't allow me to face my stuff. I learned a valuable lesson by losing a lot of stuff by not opening my mail. So I think today is a powerful lesson. If you're not opening your mail, if you find yourself in a situation where you're not handling your business, I'll tell you, it's the best thing to sit down and call each one and pray and then call each one of your creditors and handle your business. Sometimes you'll be surprised that they may take off a lot of the interest, they will work with you. You know, it's just, it's amazing when you face your fears and do what you're supposed to do. So I just wanted to share my testimony. I mean, even though that was many, 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 many years ago, I could have, who knows, I still could have been owning that property today. That's worth way more than what I had paid for. So I'm sharing with you this so you'll know, don't be afraid to open your mail. and face your fears and pay off your debt and create a plan. Whew. All right, for Money Love 13. Money Love 13, family. All right. Any questions, comments, or concern, press 1 on the Blog Talk Radio and star 6 if you're on teleconference line. But I just want to remind you today that this Money Love Challenge is an amazing experience. I just want to share one lady's testimony. She wrote a text message yesterday sharing with her testimony. Since she's been looking at her bank account every day, being very intentional about her money, praying, she got an unexpected lump sum in the mail. And it was for $10,000. And didn't know where, didn't have no thought processes of it coming in, but it was an insurance refund that she never collected. And she believes it had something to do with getting her mind in order. So she wanted to thank the Love Journey for being a part of her unexpected $10,000 that came into her life yesterday and her experience. So again, thank you to Deja for leading us on this love challenge. If you have any questions or comments or even blessings that you want to tell us about, let us know. Email us, text us, *6, press 1, whatever you want to do, and let us know how this love challenge has been blessing your soul, your life. Maybe you didn't get a $10,000 check yet, but maybe it's blessing you in other ways. I want to remind you today, it's time to start to live our life out loud. It's time to have our voice and have our say. It's time for us to do what God has called us to the planet to do and live an amazing life. And we get to choose how we want to do that. We get to choose how we want to live that amazing life, family. Reminding you today that your life is a gift from God. What you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is really the only choice. And remember to dream your God-sized dreams. If you haven't downloaded the Oprah and Deepak meditation, get a chance to. It's a great way to release and let go. It is a wonderful, wonderful meditation experience. So join the challenge, the 21-day challenge meditation with Deepak and Oprah. A lot of us are doing it, and I just want to share that with you. Have a phenomenal, amazing day today, family. Remember, it all starts with you. It's your dream. Let's dream it together, family. Let's live our dreams out loud. Let's live our life out loud. Let's live out loud. Let's live in color, family. All right, I'll see you in the morning. You've been tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram, and your love challenge with Khadija Ali, family. This is Jill Scott right here on the Love Journey. Have a great day.